I'm just really honored today to share with you all, and I really just have two purposes in sharing, and that's one, my main, is to glorify Jesus Christ. And as we were singing today and just some of the songs about just his amazing love for us, no matter where we're at, whether we've even accepted him yet or not, he loves us. And so much that he gave his life for us. And that's pretty amazing. And my second thought is that as I just share what God has brought me through, that if it just helps one person through a struggle, through whatever they're going through, it'll be worth it all to me. And so that has been my prayer in preparing for today. And I just believe that God answers prayers. So, amen. And I am not that intense, Coug. I told your wife that you said I squint my eyes when you were telling something I didn't like. And I looked at Robin and I said, like right now. So anyways, but you know, this morning as I took communion, as many of y'all did. And, you know, it's just amazing as I was taking it and just reflecting on Christ and what he did for us, willing to let his body be broken beyond for our healing. And that doesn't just mean our physical healing. When we get saved, God is saving us, healing us, and delivering us. Amen? It's a full package. It's a full picture. And as we come into agreement with that and come into open our hearts to allow that, amazing things. We can become into our full potential, our full prophetic destiny that Christ has for each of us. And Christ absolutely has a prophetic destiny for everyone sitting in here today. Amen. And so for those that don't know me, I'll just quickly kind of just give where I came from. And being born raised in a good home, raised in the church, about 14 years old, I just chose stupid. And just begin to go along the path of the world. And, you know, just when you're in high school, the insecurities, the wanting to fit in. Of course, we didn't see it that way then. But anyways, we begin to put masks on to try to fit in. How many have ever seen the movie The Mask with Jim Carrey? Raise your hand. Quite a few of you. He finds a mask. And he goes to put it on his face, and all of a sudden it just grabs him and wraps around his head. And he becomes some new thing, and some alter ego comes out where he's able, instead of being shy, he can dance, and he's crazy. And that's kind of what happens to us. We put masks on to try to fit in. And it can be back in high school. It can be trying to fit into the church. And, you know, which really is religion, right? And I'm really against religion. That's why I wore my shorts today, hoping to crush religious spirits. But anyways, those masks wrap around us, and we become that. That is what we become. And it is not God. That is not God's plan for us. God made us divine individuals. Amen? Because he has a perfect plan for each of us. And thank God that we're all not all the same. Amen? Because he has a purpose. I can go places that others can't. Others can do things and go places that I can't. And that's why we're the body. And thank goodness that we're not all like Coug. Amen? He picks on me all the time. So I wanted to take full advantage of having this moment today. Anyways, so I was on the streets for 14 years, and all that entails, the drugs, the alcohol, the violence, the craziness, the crime, just all bad. And I got to a point where I had lost everything, was homeless, I had been raising my daughter alone, I had to let my parents take her, I was homeless, I had nothing. And besides having nothing, I was nothing. I was a mess. And I thank God that I was raised in the church, and I knew that God was my only answer. But I had to get to that point, I guess, of wanting so low that I needed to look up at him, and so dissatisfied and hurt with my life and the pain that I was causing, not only to myself, but more to me, more importantly, all those that love me and care for me. And when I had to give up my daughter to my parents was probably the most point where I was like, okay, I don't want to live this way anymore. And so I made a phone call to the home, the Feather River Men's Center, which back then was Feather River Teen Challenge. And they got me in and moved me to Oakland, right in the hood, and which was an amazing experience all over again. But somehow God just met me there and radically changed my life as I just surrendered everything that was going on in my life. And honestly, within 6 months, I came back up here and was going to finish up as an outpatient at the Feather River at that point, as I said, Teen Challenge. And God had different plans. And so as I began to finish up, there was some circumstances and situations, and they asked me to take it over because it was a mess. And I very reluctantly said, okay, I'll do that. And that's been like 21 years ago now. And so for the last 20-something years, that's what I've been doing. And I want to say this. Cook said that as he announced that I was the director. And on my card and a little license in my pocket says I am a pastor, a reverend. And I only say that to say titles to me are ridiculous because we're all just people, right? We're all men and women serving God and trying to serve God or whatever aspect we're at in our life. And I just like to make that point because at this point in my life, that's where I'm at. That I don't care. Someone doesn't have to be where I'm at, and I don't have to be where someone else is at. I just want us all to love Jesus and let the love of God change our lives. That we can express our full potential in Christ. Listen, Christ did amazing things. Amazing thing. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He cleansed the leper. Amen. He cast out demons. That's our job description as Christians. Amen. Don't get mad at me. That's just what the Bible says. And it really is. And I've prayed for people to come back from the dead. It hasn't worked yet. And that's a pretty intense situation. But I believe. Amen. And that's just my beliefs is that I want to walk. And it says, the Bible says that we will do even greater things. Well, those are pretty amazing, great things. And I am not sure what greater is than that. But I want to tap into that. Amen. Which brings me kind of back to midpoint now. So during these years of serving God and trying to help men and their families, I've had 5 back surgeries. I have a lot of steel in my back, scar tissue, nerve damage, blah, blah, blah. And so coming from where I came from, I tried to go a long time without doing the whole medication thing and all that just because I know addictive personalities. And so I did that. I kept working, raising my family. By the way, I've been married. I'll be married 16 years, June 7th. And also have a 15-year-old boy. And anyway, so God's been really good to me and all that. But so in the midst of all this, of just trying to struggle through with pain and stuff, and the enemy, of course, just always tries to come against you in whatever avenue he can. And at one point, it just got so bad that the doctors were like, listen, James, you're disabled. You just need to accept that. And you need to be on medication. And you just need to accept that. And, you know, I sought some counsel on that. And at that time, everyone thought, yeah. And so I bought into that. Instead of keeping my strong belief in the power of Jesus Christ. Now, please don't get offended or think that if you're on medication or anything that I'm judging you or bashing you. I'm just speaking for me. And so, anyways, it didn't, I kept tracking on doing the same thing for a long time, and God did amazing things. But in my life, not only doing what I do can be very, very hard, emotionally draining, spiritually draining, and it's a frontline ministry. We're banging against demons every day and helping men get out of the hell that they've been in, the hell I was in. So I understand that, and I can relate to that, and it's a battle, but I'm willing to fight. So anyways, during this process, slowly being on medication, slowly it just began to drain me, began to numb me. And don't get me wrong, man, I showed up to church, I prayed, I did all that stuff. But somewhere in that mix, and I'm probably one of the biggest speakers in relationship with Jesus Christ and not religion. Because I think religion has so crushed people, because in religion, it's judgment. People judge each other in the church. And it's almost like, instead of the love covers a multitude of sin. Again, that's the word of God. But man, in our settings in America, it's so sad, because it's like a shark attack frenzy. It's like if someone falls, instead of helping them up or lifting them up, people attack them and judge them. And it's, how many know what I'm talking about? And it hurts and it crushes and it causes rejection and it makes people want to absolutely just, I'm done with Christians. Now, Christians, the word Christian nowadays is so misused. When it came about, Christian means Christ-like. So that's really our whole picture. Am I Christ-like, or am I, in my case, James-like? If I'm like me without Christ in me, Paul said, it is not I, but it is Christ who lives within me. I absolutely have to have Christ living in me, or it's going to be bad all day and all night. And not just for me, but for everyone around me. And so in my walk, everything just began to get drained out of me, drained out of me. And I faced a lot of stuff. I've had to bury like 7 guys through the years, which was hard. One of the guys had to bury their baby, their infant. And those things, I did not realize what hurt it caused, and just frustration. And at that point, and my wife, who is not a codependent at all, was just on me all the time. But she began to see that not just for my physical pain, I began to take more medication for my emotional pain and for my emotional distress or whatever. And we all have that. We all, Pastor Dave says, welcome to the big blue planet. I mean, that's life. We're born into a sin-fallen world. Thus, our great need for Jesus Christ. Amen? And so everything around me and just slowly began to spiral down. I could go down so avenues and keep you here forever, but I won't. But I just really feel like one of the main things that God is wanting me to get out is, because we can get so comfortable coming into church. We can get so comfortable with status quo. As you read the word, Revelations 3:20 comes to mind about being lukewarm. And I think one of the things that makes us in that place where we don't have that desire, I want to be like Jesus. So my desire right now, I want to look in the mirror and not see me, but see Jesus. That's my goal. I'm not there yet. I can still see my bald head. One of these days, maybe I'll look and I'll be like, wow, I got hair again. I don't know. Anyways, in that, I just, Christ is just all about cutting edge, fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit in us, us being in a place of availability, because so many are lost and hurting. And listen, if you've got Christ in you, the Bible says those that have been forgiven much love much. See, I can love you all. That's no problem. But man, I don't forget where God has taken me from. I love the people on the streets. I love the people that are homeless. I love, but it's so easy for us to forget where God has brought us. And you know, a lot of y'all probably maybe have never drank or done drugs, anything like that. But the Bible again says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So wherever we're at on that whole playing field, we absolutely need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I need it every day. And anyways, back to where I was. So I came to a point, everything was crashing down. My marriage was in shambles, which I thought was her fault. But once I got my head clear, I realized it was pretty much my fault. And I had all my leaders who I so appreciate that were willing to love, but speak the truth in love as well. And, you know, as the Bible says, to submit to our spiritual leaders. And that's an interesting dynamic. I could preach on that alone. Because when it comes to someone speaking truth into us, what they see, sometimes we can have blind spots. And we don't even see when Pastor Dave said, James, you're messed up again. And I listened to this. And this is not, I don't like to share this. It's a very, again, makes me revisit what God did for me. But he said, James, what you're doing right now, you're totally addicted again. You're totally overcome by this. You're not in control. And honestly, when he said that to me, it made me mad. I was like, you know, our first thoughts are to justify, right? Well, you're not walking in my shoes. You haven't had all these back surgeries. You haven't, besides five back, I've had 16 total surgeries. I've shattered both legs, both, you know, I'm like the bionic man, but with not being as fast and strong. But anyways, and in that, I went home with that and I was mad and I told him I was mad. I love and respect Pastor Dave more than any spiritual leader in my life, almost except for Coogan. Anyways, and I just told him, I said, man, Dave, that really ticks me off. That might not have been the exact word I used, but anyways, and I went home and him and Cheryl prayed for me and my wife. And I mean, everything was crashing down. I had told my board, I'd gone to Coog and I was like, I need a break. I've ran the center for over 2 decades and I'm done. I'm wore out. I'm done. I'm hurt. And, but there was so much more going on behind that I really hadn't come into truth yet with. And so it took some of those moments and those hard things being said to me. And it was the very next day. I had an incident and I was just a mess and I was trying. I mean, don't get me wrong. I knew you cannot take any kind of narcotic medication for any period of time without, even if you don't have an addictive personality or spirit, whatever you want to call it, your body becomes dependent, physically dependent on them. For the year prior to that, I wanted to get off. I knew it was killing me. And literally it was. And how many watch TV in here? One of the biggest, oh, come on, you be truthful. Come on. I'm not judging. I watch TV, but there we go. A few more hands went up. Anyways, it's amazing because one of the biggest commercials now is about medications from whatever to whatever. It doesn't matter. And it's like the first 10 seconds of the commercial is like, this can help, help, help. And then 2/3 of the commercial is how it will kill you, give you cancer, cause you to go out of your head. And I'm like, geez, I'd rather have a rash. Are you kidding me? But that's the reality, that spirit of pharmakia. Yeah, I just threw that out there. And it will grab you and devastate your life. We know this, that the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. We have his job description. And it's interesting because if someone said at 12 o'clock tonight, a burglar's going to come to your door, break in. I mean, like, who would go to bed and say, ah, whatever, I'm cool. Honestly, I'm sitting there with my Glock ready to roll. I said that too. I'm just saying that if we know something, but we know God gives us in the Word. But yet somehow we shield it from us and we don't protect ourselves. I did not protect myself. I did, and it took all of this to come crashing down for me to get real again. And to get real, it takes two things. Humility, which if you can't muster up on your own, God will help you. I only know by experience. And boy, did he help me get there. And we got to come into alignment with truth. The Bible says the truth, talking about the truth, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the truth will set you free. And honestly, the truth sometimes hurts, but only for a moment. And then it sets you free. And so as everything came crashing down in my life and doing what I've done, I made a phone call to a good friend. And I said, listen, I can't get off these medications. I'm sick. My blood pressure was 240 over 140, which is stroke out, heart attack level. And I was so, so physically sick. And so I went in and had some people under a doctor's care and I spent 31 days out of my home, away from my wife, away from my kids, so that I could get my life right again, that I could get aligned with the Spirit of truth and Jesus. And in that, everything changed. Everything changed. I sat in a little 8x12 room with no music, no nothing but a bed. And spent 13 nights awake, can't sleep. When your body starts detoxing, it is hell on earth. I literally would have rather died. I was up. You can't lay down and rest. And like, okay. I mean, I've lost a lot of weight. For those that know me, know that. And it's probably because I paced 1,000 miles in 13 days in a little 8x12 room. And but in that, and it was the hardest thing I've ever. It was harder than years ago. It was the hardest thing I ever did. It was the most breaking, humbling thing that ever had happened to me in my whole life. And that's after serving God for a long time. And I only say that to say, listen, we all face stuff. And it's so easy for us to blame God. God, why this? God, that? But honestly, God gives us free will to choose. Our choices. I chose poorly and it cost me, almost cost me. Honestly, it's a miracle I'm alive standing here today. If I had time to share everything, it's a miracle. And I'm grateful and I want to take full advantage of God working in my life and giving me that opportunity. I didn't deserve it. Listen, we cannot earn it. We don't deserve it. It's by His grace. It's simply because He loves us so much. And in this time, it made me cry out to God like I never have in my life. Second by second, I said, God, if you don't come right now, if you don't show up right now, I won't make it another second. That's how sick I was. And a second would go by, and I'd say the same thing on and on and on. And a day would go, and then another day. And it took a long time for me to just even begin to be able to think or feel. And then as you begin to feel, instead of being and living comfortably numb, you then have to process the guilt, the shame, and all the stuff like that. And you know, for a minute, that's probably a good thing so that we don't forget. But that's not God's plan. His plan is redemption. His plan is forgiveness. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. And I really learned in this process where he says he will never leave you or forsake you. He was there, and there was times I wondered if he was, to be honest. But I wouldn't be here if he wasn't. He sticks closer than a brother. And his hand is always reaching out to us. And the only thing that really holds us back is our pride. Listen to me now. And I use myself, trust me. Because, like, who doesn't have pride? And if you say you don't, that's pride. Anyways, yeah, I said that too. Anyways, the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. How many want grace in your life? Amen. And he resists the proud. And man, I had so much resistance in my life, but I just fought it. I just fought it. And it was getting to that place of, I surrender. Take me home. Do what I gave everything. I told Coug, I said, I resign. I'm done with the sinner. And in my heart was broken from hurting my family. But I was honestly, I was like, God, I don't know where I'm going or what's going on. Here's the ministry, my family, God, here's my life. And I had to get to that place. And honestly, pride is nothing more than self-will. My biggest prayer, I mean, and we all know, you know, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And, but do we really mean that? Because most of the time, his will, honestly, doesn't come into alignment with our will. His ways are higher. We will serve ourselves. We will meet our own needs. I will. But when we come into contact with his way, he's God. He has a bigger plan. His ways are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. But his plans are good. He has plans to prosper us, not plans of harm. And if we can just come in, when I came into that place of breaking, that place of humility, and I was just like, God, whatever, I will walk out whatever your plan is. It's a game changer. It's a life changer. And I'm at a place where I honestly, I mean, who doesn't want people to like them or whatever? I ain't wearing no mask. I want to be who I am in Christ. If I want to dance before God, I want to dance before God. I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't really dig getting up and sharing publicly. And really, this is pretty intimate stuff. But I don't care. I've been judged. I've been gossiped about. Don't think I haven't. Especially in my position, really. And that's what we do to each other. God, forgive us and help us. But I thank God that I had enough people around me that loved me and believed in the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. That they loved me and supported me. Coop came to visit me and enjoyed my 8x12 little room. He was like, dude, are you kidding? And I was like, no, man, get me out of here. Take me home. Adopt me. Anyways. But he didn't. He left me there. As I close today, you know, it doesn't matter. Like I said, maybe you have an issue with some kind of drug. Maybe you have an issue with alcohol. I don't know. But we categorize things. And honestly, anything that holds us back, anything that holds us back from our full potential in Jesus Christ, our full potential as a husband, our full potential as a father, or just a man or woman of God. And we don't want to put our stuff out there. I just want to tell you, it really doesn't matter, because there's nothing more freeing, more beautiful than being right this way. As you're right with God, everything else unilaterally just happens. My marriage is the best it's ever been. I'm probably doing more for the kingdom of God than I ever have. And with a whole different spirit. It's not about me. It's about Him, and it's about others. And somewhere in that dynamic, wow, He takes care of me and blesses me beyond my wildest. It's stepping out in that faith. And listen, you may have, it may not be those issues. Maybe you have unforgiveness in your life. Maybe you were hurt as a child. Maybe you were abused, molested. Maybe someone rejected you, left you. Maybe anger. I mean, I could go on and on with the list. I just so believe that God is so, especially in this hour, is so wanting to break the junk off our life. It is a season of transformation. It is a season of glorious change. And it's there. It's just a matter of us saying, yes, God. Amen. Let's all stand. I just, as we close, there's one question I always will ask. And years ago, I told the Lord, if ever I get to open my big mouth in front of a microphone or in front of a group, I will always give opportunity. I don't do the whole bow your head so no one can see thing. I've just laid my life out there for y'all. My hopes is that it will help you that, man, we just all are people and we just need Jesus. And it's okay. Because honestly, who doesn't have an issue or a problem? But in that, if you're here today, and you've never, you know, I've talked a lot about the love of Jesus and just His saving power. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're like, you know, life just is, there's an emptiness. There's nothing that can fill that emptiness in us but Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're like, James, you know what? Today's the day. I want to give my heart to Christ. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it His. If there's anyone in here, just raise your hand right now and say, I want you to pray with me, James. Yes. Anyone else? Honestly, that was my prayer. That God, I'll do it. Just one person. Do you know that Jesus left the 99 to go get the one? That's how much He loves us and how important. My second thought is this. If you're out there today and you've heard and you felt and you're like, the Holy Spirit like touched in your heart, you're like, yeah, I definitely, man, I have something holding me back. And I'm ready to deal. I'm ready to get real. I'm ready to deal with my business and just humble myself and say, God help. See, I can't do nothing for you, but He can. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't real. Trust me. And so if that's you and you're just like, you want to come before the Lord, come get some prayer this morning and just say, I want to get this issue. I want to get this mask. I want to be who I am in Christ. Just raise your hand right now. Anyone in here? Yes. I'm just going to ask anyone who raised your sister, whatever question, just let's all just come forward. If y'all want to play some music, that would be super. And Maybe could, I don't know if you need to close behind me, but if we can just Bill and pray for these. Go ahead and come on. Listen, don't let anything hold you back. Just I'm standing up here, so come stand with me. Amen. This is what it's all about. Now, this is where the love of the family of God comes into play. Yeah, see, it's a brave thing for all these people to come forward. So let's meet them in that place. If you didn't come forward and you're a believer in Christ, come find someone and love on them and pray with them and help them to push through. We need each other. We're a body. We need each other. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and turn the music up a little bit. I'm done talking. If you're here, God bless you. Thank you for coming. You are released. We're going to spend time up here praying.